Hey, KID crew, just a reminder, we're hanging out at the Flying Goose inside the Shiloh on Lindsay Boulevard in Idaho Falls, and you're invited to come down and join us. We are watching all of this unfold together. Right now, I'm joined by Representative Wendy Horman of District 32A. Representative, a big day. You've had a lot going on, a lot of campaigning. What really stands out in your mind as far as this election cycle?
The thing on the Idaho ballot in Bonneville County that I'm most worried about is Proposition 1. That will fundamentally change the way we do elections here in Idaho, and it's mostly financed by out-of-state money that leans to the left. And you have to ask why they're trying to buy Idaho elections. And so I hope that Idahoans have been able to see through the lies, candidly. This isn't about open primaries. It's about ranked choice voting. And so that's the issue I'm most concerned about on the ballot tonight.
And you know, I think as I was traveling around delivering some Pepsi to poll workers and voters at the polls, that's one of the things that I picked up on, is that a lot of people are concerned about what that would mean and how that would really impact our state. And I don't know about you, but I don't think we need to make voting any more complicated. We want to get voter turnout to be higher. And I'm afraid that that could deter people.
Completely agree. And that's the evidence that we've seen in other states. It is confusing. It leads to longer lines. Even Gavin Newsom, the Democratic governor from California, wrote that in his veto letter. It doesn't increase democracy, and it leads to voter confusion. We don't need that in Idaho. Our system isn't broken. If it were, then we would spend that kind of money. The Secretary of State says around $40 million to get the equipment and software we need to do it. But it's not broken. And so I hope Idahoans have seen through the misrepresentation on the costs, on the title, on what it actually does, and vote no.
Going to be keeping a really close eye on that one. Representative, I know as you and I have chatted many times, you really got into this because you care about kids, and that's a big passion of yours. So share with us some of the things that you have on the horizon as far as kind of strengthening the youth of our communities.
Thank you. That is why I got into politics. I want every single child to have the opportunity for an excellent education, no matter where they're learning. So I have supported public schools. I was a school board trustee for 11 years. I've supported charter schools. I support online schools. Our kids, my husband and I have 5 kids, and when they were young, they used all of those options. And so I will be working on trying to get funding to follow the students in the public system as well as school choice into settings that work best for them. We're seeing a little bit of drama right now on removing communications classes. We've got some speech and debate teachers that are fighting that, and I'm helping. I think that's a critical skill to be able to communicate like you and I are doing now. And so digital literacy is important, but so is the ability to stand up and debate and speak. And so that will be something I'll be working on this session as well.
I think that's so crucial, because one of the things that I have been seeing is that you have this generation of young people who are almost afraid to interact face-to-face. You hear stories all the time of people who don't want to order food over the phone or in person. They just want to do it online. And I'm right there with you. There's a place for that digital literacy, but I don't think we want to see that ability to communicate face-to-face, to express yourself, to become extinct. And I'm afraid if we don't do something, we're headed in a direction that is going to have some ugly consequences.
Completely agree. I had a daughter that was a state champion in debate. She went to national debate, and she's a lawyer now. But these skills are not necessarily something that are coming naturally anymore. Also working on a bill to limit cell phone use in schools to try and increase the amount of time that our students spend face-to-face with their teachers and with each other. And it really is more crucial now than ever. There's an easy fix to this. You just don't remove it as a graduation requirement. You leave it, but you add digital literacy rather than removing it. So, you know, in politics, there's always room to talk about what a good solution is. There's an easy solution here, but so far that's not does not seem to be where the state board is headed. And so had a conversation on that this morning and said if we need to bring graduation requirements back to the control of the legislature rather than administrative rule, we'll do that in order to protect this really important skill for our students.
I could not agree more, because I can't even imagine a future if we are not working to get those strengths to become, you know, in the forefront in our youth, because as you said, it's not something that comes natural. I think of times with my youngest son, and he's sitting on a couch at our house with his friends, and they're all texting each other. That's their preferred mode of communication, and not that that's not effective in some ways, but I do think it's important to encourage that old school communication that I hope never goes out of style.
If you haven't read the book, The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, it is worth a read. I think it's the best parenting manual out there right now. What he's done is gather the research over the years with social media and the impact it's having on our students. And you can see the evidence when you go to a bell-to-bell phones available but not during class situation, learning increases dramatically, depression, suicide, anxiety, those sorts of things. There is hard evidence now of how social media and technology is impacting our children, and we need to get our classrooms back to places where you sit down, you focus on learning rather than how many notifications you have. So couldn't agree more.
Well, I am so glad to hear that you're going to be working hard on that, and we'll definitely keep in contact because I want to follow the progress of that and bring it to the KID crew. Tonight, as we're watching all of this unfold, what thoughts would you like to share with people about this election, about the future of our community, our state, and our country?
Keep up the faith. We were given this country as a gift, and we need to honor that gift that was given to us by our founding fathers and mothers. And so keep the faith. I never assume a vote. I ran a campaign, a full-on campaign. I've never had a Democrat before in a general election, but I nonetheless ran a full-on campaign with direct mails, with text messages, with digital advertising, with signs, phone calls, talking to voters, those sorts of things, because I never take a vote for granted. And so even though my district is heavily Republican, I still want to earn that vote from the voters. It's sacred. And I love our area so much because we do have so many patriots in this area that care about Idaho and they care about our nation. It's a blessing to live here. It's a blessing to serve.
So well said. Representative Wendy Horman, thanks so much for the really good work that you do and for taking a moment tonight to chat with us. All right, KID crew, we will continue our coverage and bring you exciting and interesting interviews, and we'll keep a close eye on Proposition 1.